song we were singing just before this one?
Bless the Lord.
Let's sing that one more time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all. One of those great things that He's done, each one of you. Let's pray. Father, we're so happy, Lord, that we can come back together again tonight, Lord, and we are only concerned about You, Lord. Well, one another, people would say, well, why aren't we concerned about one another? That's the same thing, Lord. We're all a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, may You come be among us tonight and speak to us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And if I ain't talking loud enough, y'all let me know. I had some things I wanted to say on the... Brother Goomba got me thinking on the rapture there. And about all three things happening when He comes down. I got to thinking about that. You know, one of them three things, Brother Branham said, it's a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Do you know what he said the last thing was? The last thing he said was the wedding supper. The wedding supper is taking place as He's coming down. I just caught that the other day. Think about that. The message is going forth. He's gathering His bride, and the wedding supper is taking place as He's coming down. And you think about, you know, how many coming downs are there? Is that coming down the same one in Revelations 10? Is that the same coming down? Or did He come down twice? It's the same coming down. All three of those things are taking place as the message, Brother Branham said, is being sent down to His prophet. As He is coming down to His prophet. But I wanted to talk about those things. But before I did, I wanted to talk about this book one more time. Sort of as a background. And then on Sunday we'll talk about those things a little more. But I tell you, I know I've said it 100 times. But there is no book besides the Bible in this message where you can sit down and God shows Himself to you more every time you sit down as a son or daughter of God and you start partaking of the body of God. You if you believe that this is God's body and you're taking of it, He opens things up to you. So I wanted to start taking things that sometimes we take for granted. You know, we talk about the seven seals so much. And we talk about them being the seals on a book. That some book is sealed up. And I wondered if we knew everything that Brother Branham said that book was. Because if we know everything Brother Branham said that book was, then we'll know what was sealed by those seven seals. And we'll know what has came open to us in this day when those seals were open, and we'll know why they were sealed, and those that thing, that sort of thing. So I just went through here, and I picked these things out. Some of them you might know that Brother Branham called this the book. He called it the Book of Redemption. We all know that one. We know the book of the Lamb's life, the book of life, and he explained that. The tree of life, not sure if everybody knows that. Not sure if everybody knows it's the Bible. Brother Branham said the seals are on the Bible. And what did he say what the Bible was? It's the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. So the seal was on the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he was. That was the seal on it. And so the Bible, Brother Ram, we're going to read that tonight. And he also said that the seals were on our inheritance. This book was our inheritance. Whatever is in this book is ours. It's the book that he gave Adam, and the book that went back to Christ, and the book that the Lamb, and only the Lamb, can open. And we just said it's Jesus Christ. So we already answered the question. It's all of the above. The seals on the book, what were they sealing? They were sealing this. It's all the same thing. So Brother Branham says here, and this is in adoption, and he says this later on, but he says it so much clearer here before the seals that I just thought I'd read this one. If you want the one where he talks about it afterwards, I can get that one for you too. Because he says one of the same phrases he talks about. He didn't know how these businessmen would think God runs his business. That's where he talks about this over in 65. But let's read this one from adoption. Paragraph 177. Inheritance by predestination. Our inheritance was by predestination. We don't went over that. Everybody's went over that. Every minister, I think, went over that one. Our inheritance was by predestination. God saw who would and who wouldn't. And so he made a way. He said, Brother Ram says, I inherited something. What inheritance? There had to be somebody leave me an inheritance. Why, you say Jesus left you an inheritance. Beg your pardon. Jesus never left me an inheritance. Jesus never left you an inheritance. Think about this. There's so much here about the Godhead and everything else. People just don't understand. I was going looking at a minister on the internet this week, the one that started all the stuff about the prophet being the absolute or not. And he made a statement. He was quoting Brother Joseph Branham, and Brother Joseph Branham went somewhere and he said, I come here and I have one purpose, and that's to promote Brother Branham. Okay, so you and I know that he was not coming to promote Brother Branham, the man. He was coming to promote Brother Branham's message. And if anybody would take 5 seconds, and somebody calls themselves a minister in this message, it won't take 5 seconds to sit down. And Brother Branham said, that prophet can't say his own words. He's made in such a way that he can't say his own words. And then try to make some difference between them. Does not understand the Godhead and shouldn't be in the pulpit at all. But this makes me sick to my stomach. So Jesus never left me an inheritance. Jesus never left you an inheritance. He only come down and paid for your inheritance. So God come down and paid for your inheritance through Jesus Christ. Brought you to your inheritance. But your name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God gave you your inheritance. Your inheritance was first. There was your inheritance. When he put your name on the book, that was your inheritance. Jesus only came. Here's the way they try to make it. God said, well, there's a lot of people lost. I don't want them to be saved. So I'll send down Jesus down, and perhaps maybe somebody will feel sorry and know that what I've done and get saved. In other words, it's some random something that he don't know about. Oh, mercy. I wouldn't run my office like that. Even as poor as I do run it sometimes, then I wouldn't do it like that. How about God? God, by his foreknowledge, seen exactly who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. He sent Jesus to save those that he had already chosen. Didn't Paul, and where did he choose us? He chose us in Christ. Didn't Paul say 5 verses behind this that he chose us in him before there was even a world? That's our inheritance. God chose us and let Jesus come pay the price. God come and paid the price through Christ. We know that. But there's our inheritance right there, that God chose us and let Jesus come and say and pay the price. And what did Brother Ram say the book was? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember when he preached Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and he said he had that secret in the back of his mind. That was us sealed there because we're part of Christ. And let Jesus come and pay the price. The what? His shedding of his blood, that no sin would be accounted to us. Now, this is over in Go Awake Jesus. I've always thought the church wasn't a haphazard. Jesus never came to earth in a haphazard way. And we're talking about God writing his Bible. Now, what we just read a while ago is God writing his Bible. The revelation of Jesus Christ is him revealing him having written his Bible, his predestination. He never died in a haphazard way. He came for a purpose, and that purpose was to fulfill the commandment of God, that he might purchase to himself a church without spot or wrinkle. That church is a predestinated church. Every name that was ever put on that book, Jesus came to redeem it. So all of our names are there. And when that last name is redeemed, the book is closed. Every name that was ever put on that book, Jesus came to redeem it. So every name there ever was sealed up in those 7 seals. You see why you were sealed under your age until the day of your redemption. When's the day of the redemption? When the mystery of God is finished and the book is opened. Every name that was ever on the book, put on that book, Jesus came to redeem. And then the last name is redeemed, the book is closed. Now, he didn't intend that no one would be lost, but his foreknowledge let him know who would be lost. Therefore, he could predestinate, and then their names were put on that book. And then, when that book of redemption is closed and sealed with 7 seals, when is it closed? He put our names on the book and he closed it. Before the foundation of the world, he closed it. And then, when that book of redemption is closed and sealed with 7 seals, while it's being worked out by the mysterious powers of God, he's revealing it. It's closed up, but Brother Branham say, we got to see the Bible all down through the prophets, down through the New Testament, and now with Brother Branham, we could see back down through the church ages, but it's all been sealed up. And so we've been seeing in part. While it's being worked out by the mysterious powers of God. So God, having put that book of sealed it up, now he's been revealing it all this time. like Brother Branham said, in Christ the mystery of God revealed. He had that secret in the back of his mind, and he's been slowly unfolding it down through the ages. What was the secret? It was Christ and us in Christ. While it's being worked out by the mysterious powers of God, and someday when the book of redemption is finished, the Lamb takes it. So what does it mean if the book of redemption is finished? If the book of redemption is the Bible, and Brother Branham said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, then the mystery of God is finished. And what it is, what's going to happen? When was that going to happen? In the days of the sounding of the seventh angel messenger. The Lamb takes it. Book of redemption is finished. The Lamb takes it. And then the last name is called off of that. The Lamb comes forth to call for what he has redeemed. That's his church. And I believe that time is close at hand. Amen. So let's go over here in marriage and divorce. If you want to read Job 14 there, it says, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Is that right? He cometh up like the flower. He's cut down and waste away and so forth. See, every man that's born of a woman is born in death as soon as he comes. Now, I'm reading this because we're going to read something else here in just a minute. So just keep thinking about that. But when he is born into the creation of God, he cannot die. Let that sink in. When he's born into the creation of God, he cannot die. And how many ways are there to be born into the creation of God? Through Christ. But when he's born into the creation of God, he cannot die. He is from that other tree. See that? Only when you're born into the creation of God from that other tree can you be that one that can't die. Or part of those that can't die. He is from that other tree that was in the Garden of Eden, Christ. Eternal life came by the tree. Oh, you say, she was a tree, sure. Well, they said, thou shalt not take of this tree. God said in Genesis back there, thou shalt not take of this tree. Don't try to bring children into the world through the woman. Bring them like he said. Well, the woman is the tree. She's the fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. The fruit of the womb is you. That's right. And the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden is what? Christ. Don't let that just go over your head. Just go home and think about that. When the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, then the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden is Christ. So, if Christ has been sealed up all this time, since so has the tree, so has our inheritance, redemption, everything has been sealed up. Thou, through the woman, came death. Through the man is the original creation come life. To be born a woman is death. To be born Christ is life. That's the only way there is life, is to be born of Christ. And Christ had to come before we could be born of Christ. Get the idea. Now, I'm bearing down on this because when Brother Gumba was preaching this last time, he mentioned some of the things that were being talked about, how that the people don't see that Brother Branham's vision that he would forerun the second coming. Was that fulfilled? There was all this discussion about it. when to us it seems so plain in the message, it's still hid to people. And I told Katrina going home one night, I said, you know, I said, why people can't see that is one of the things is so key, is to realize the birth that you had in this day. Everybody thinks the birth that you have in this day is the same birth that Paul had. And it's not. The tree of life wasn't opened yet. Christ wasn't revealed yet. And we've been spending all this time about God makes and interprets his word by what? Bringing it to pass. He has to bring it to pass. If you're going to live by Christ, he brings that to pass himself. And remember what he said about Moses. He put Moses down there, and Moses was going to be the deliverer. And you look at that perfect position Moses was in. Moses was like raised up. He had all their education. He had all their war education. He knew all their systems. He knew all their, you know, the things that made them happy, the ways to talk to them. But that wasn't the way God was going to do it. It looked just like it to a man, to intellect. It looks like that's the way he's going to do it. But Brother Branham said if he'd have done that, then Moses would have delivered them, not God. And it had to be God because the scripture said God would deliver them. You see that? And then to try to make a difference between Moses and God at that point, a woe unto me. I wouldn't try to do something like that, which is exactly what they're trying to do nowadays with the prophet. Through the man in the original creation come life. To be born of a woman is death. To be born of Christ is life. Only way. You got to be born of Christ. That's the only way there is life. Get the idea. That's where, now you see where the goddesses went to, don't you? They looked at life coming from a woman, and they started worshiping the woman. Look back. You can go back and look at a bunch of the pagan gods and all the different worships all down through history. Look how many of them worship women. Go and read the Church Ages sometime where Brother Ram talks about Ham and Ham's mother. I mean, Ham's son and his mother. And go read about that sometime. Now, the word, now I've cut out a bunch of this because we read it so many times, but y'all know where this is. Go back and read it. Now, the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. He had one way he was going to share eternal life with man. Is that right? One way he was going to do it. And he was going to do it. Moses couldn't do it. Jesus down there said himself he couldn't do it. Whatever the Father shows me, that's what I do. It's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that doeth the works. That is what made our... That's what bought us our salvation. A son that would do, that would just let go and let God do. That's the only thing that was going to purchase our salvation. Because when God gave that promise to Abraham, that promise to Abraham was, I am, I will, I already have. He was talking about at that point. And until them seals come open, nobody knew what that I will, I have, I am, I have already done it was. He was speaking about our inheritance that he'd already done. He come and let's see what was happening. He gave that faith to Abraham. Was it nothing Abraham did? He gave it to Abraham. He gave that faith to Abraham. And from that came Christ. The manifestation of the I will. So all the time unveiling this book. Before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way. Did you hear that? in any other way. No other way would the life be shared except through Christ. Be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in the flesh. That's the way we just read it at the beginning. That's the way he was going to give us our inheritance. Jesus didn't leave us an inheritance. God, through Jesus, paid for the inheritance we already had. See? Be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in flesh. That was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. That one way to share life was the part of God's eternal purpose. This plan to have one way to share it. This plan was to be the praise of the glory, be to the praise of the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the sealed book. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. Now we've went over all that. Man could not come and directly partake of the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Why? Because there was one way he was going to share it. And it wasn't by what Adam was going to do. It wasn't by what Adam, if Adam had brought that to pass, if Adam could have kept that word right on through, if Eve done what she done, and Adam just went ahead and said, I'm sorry, Eve, you'll have to go on. Then Adam took God's word. Adam brought God's word to pass, which is exactly opposite to what God has said in 100 places in this message. Man could not directly come and partake of the tree of life. Now, we done talked about all this, and I'm talking about this tonight because I want us to know what that book was that the seals come off of. We can talk and argue all day long about whether the seals was broke or the seals wasn't broke or anything else. But if you know what was in that book and you see what was in that book revealed, then you can have all the arguments you want about whether it was open or closed. God's people sees that it was open because they see what they knew what was in it and what awaited them and what was theirs. Brother Branham, that's why Brother Branham said it isn't what translation you go and get. That's not what's going to figure it out. It's what God shows you when he brings it to pass. That's the way it is from the beginning to the end. When he interprets it, he shows it to his people. Every single time. You find me one place in the Bible where God don't bring his word to pass and then his people see it. He said he allotted his word for every age. He allotted his word for every age. Who was that word? It was God's people. They were allotted to that age to recognize the word that came to the prophet for that age. So that's all I'm saying about today, too. Man could not drink. Okay, I read that. All right, so the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, every denomination is an ultimate to their believers. But to me, and to the ones I hope that I'm leading to Christ by Christ, the Bible is our ultimate. No matter, because God said, let every man's word be a lie and mine truth. And I believe that the Bible is God's ultimate. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's when the seals come off of it, the prophet whom the word comes to said, the Bible has become a new book to me. See that? The word came to him. Something had to be opened. No matter what happened, what anyone else says, it's the ultimate. The Bible is not a book of systems. No, sir. It's not a book of systems. It's nor a code of morals. The Bible is not a book of systems, so many systems and so forth. No, sir. It's not a book of morals. No, sir, it is not. Nor is it a book of history altogether, or neither is it a book of theology, for it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I read that is because Brother Bram said that the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Brother Bram said that the seals were on the Bible. So the seals were on the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the seals were on. They had Christ sealed up. We knew a little about it because we could read the Bible, what the Bible said about Jesus. But we never understood everything perfectly till after the seals were open. For the Bible is a living, foretold witness of Jesus Christ. And as the earth has grown into its fullness, and also vines grow into their fullness, the day grows into its fullness. He's making all these comparisons, see, of something starting out and growing into fullness. It wasn't fullness right off the bat. It's something that grew into fullness. The revelation of Jesus Christ grew into fullness. Our inheritance grew into view for us. The revelation as it come about. As the earth has grown into its fullness, and also vines grow into their fullness, the day grows into its fullness. The Bible was manifested in its fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. See, and we're part of Him. He was the Word of God revealed. The whole complete book of redemption. Jesus Christ was the whole complete book of redemption. The Bible is God's Word, forthtelling the future events. Its believers is commanded by its author to read. You hear that? Who commands the believers to believe every word of it? The author. If some person just tells you to believe every word of it, it's not going to do you. It's not going to work. But if God, whether it's through a man or in your prayer or whatever, tells you, then it's going to make a difference. It's author to read and believe every word of it. Not just part of it. One word to disbelieve it. You might, if you disbelieve one word, then what? You don't have the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. So you can't have your inheritance. Because it came by Jesus Christ. One word to disbelieve it. You might as well quit trying until you believe that word. Every word is absolutely a part of Almighty God. So when we turn down one word, we turn down a part of God. God made manifest, found, wound into His Word to show forth who He is. We are commanded as believers to believe every word of it. And it's wrote by the author of God Himself. There's nobody can add anything to it or take anything from it. And praise God for that, because we are part of that. Nobody can add to us. Nobody can take something from us. We're part of Christ. You see why this last day one, the one that has the fullness, can't be deceived. She can't fail. She's a part of Almighty God. It would be a freak body of God. It would have maybe like six fingers on one hand or three arms or something to add something, to make something or what, take something away from it and be one arm short, one finger short. It's the complete body of Jesus Christ. And Christ being the male, the groom, the bride is represented in Him also. And these two are one. Now remember what Brother Bram said, the seventh seal is His coming. He also said that the seventh seal is the end of all things. Both His coming and the end of all things. That's not by accident. Because His coming does, look what it, when He come the first time. what happened? It was the end of the law. It was the end of blood of the bulls and goats. It was the end of that. And then what did he come in this time? It was the end of denominations. It was the end of part word. It was the end of that time that God let that go on. The end of all things. The seventh. The seventh seal. We'll get into that some more in this next message. The bride is represented in him also. And these two are one. At that day, you'll know that I am in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. What a complete picture. At that day, you'll know these things. And the true believers in this word, who accept it by the way, by that way, believe it and with patience wait for its prophesied promises, every one of them to be manifested in its age. What is he talking about? He's talking about this message and people waiting on these things to be manifested. They're looking for it, knowing God's going to show them, knowing they can't be deceived. It can't fail. Every believer has watched for it. Every believer that's been on the toes watching is the ones that's been revealed to. Everyone that's been watching. Remember, the Bible is the book of redemption. Book of life, Lamb's book of life. It is the living foretold witness of Jesus Christ. Now, we just read that a while ago. I just wanted to reiterate that. Jesus clearly expressed this when he said, "No man can come to me except my Father draws him first or reveals me to him first." See what the drawing is? It's revealing himself to you. You ought to read that. It's St. James or St. John 6:44 to 46. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was just an ordinary man. They thought him just to be, as people does today, some prophet. Ain't that something? He was the prophet. He was an ordinary man. But there was more than that. Just like last night speaking, when you get the book, you're going to see maybe a little confusion there of what I said, the two books of life. It's the same book. The same book. Those two books of life are the same book. This is the book that Brother Bram said the seals were on. Right? The two books, which is really one book. That's what the seals are on. Let's see what those two books are. It's the same book, but one of them is your natural birth. Now, he's not talking about just this flesh. He's talking about you as a triune being. That's that first book. Because that first book, it has to be thrown away, right? When you're born again, it's thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness. The two books of life, it's the same book, but one of them is your natural life, birth. The other one is your spiritual birth. How many spiritual births are you going to have? Just one. One leads out to the other one. Your natural birth leads out to your spiritual birth. That's all in this book. That's all revealed when the seals are taken off. One leads out to the other one, just like a stalk of wheat. Whenever you talk to me, you talk to me as a living person. But there's a part of me here is that person that must perish. That's the book that the name comes off of. But the eternal one, the predestinated one, the elected one, the name never can come from there because it was always on it. You know what he said? Jesus said your inheritance came first. He was always on it. He always knew who would and who would not. From there, because it was always on it, it can never be taken off. You'll notice it in the book. So to save your confusion, you'll find it that way. Because I think Brother Vail, who put the right grammar to it, reminded me of that, of it today. I said, that's right. The Baptists believe there's two separate books. And in one way, it is two separate books. Your natural life and your spiritual life. Another way, it isn't two separate books. I'm two separate people. I'm body, soul, and spirit. Three separate people. But only one makes me as a being. There's only one real one book of life. Like there was one germ of wheat that come up through the stalk and went through the tassel and out through the husk and into the wheat. All the way along there, you say, now that's a wheat laying there. It isn't that the wheat. It's the stalk. It's the life passing through the stalk. Remember, he's pointing and comparing this to our first life and our natural life and our spiritual life. He's comparing these two to the stalk and the wheat. It isn't the wheat. It's the stalk, but together it's the wheat. See, it's the wheat because it's all one stalk. But the wheat is what you're talking about. The grain at the end of it. The others was a carrier. It must perish. And that's the one place, sounds like, you can have your name taken off the Lamb's Book of Life. And the other place, you can't do it. There was another William Branham down there. See, the one William Branham born here was that first book. But the other William Branham down in there was the spiritual William Branham. Book of Life. And the other place that you can't do it. So that's where it is. It's all in that great revelation there, which was made known during the time of the seven seals. The mystery about these two books. When the mystery is ended. During the time of the seven seals. Why is it? How some people can't believe it. All right, the power of transformation. But dear friends, I'm not young like you all. This morning I am old. And I have been through many hard battles, see? And by going through those hard battles brings you where you are this morning. You see that? God writing his Bible. Who brought him through those battles? By his own testimony, God brought him through even when his own spirit and flesh wanted to turn against him, turn against God. God brought him straight on through. See, and by going through those hard battles brings you where you are this morning. See, I'm sure you understand that. You know how many times I've said in prayer, thanking God for this very thing right here. Not just for him, for Brother Holmes, for every minister that's helped me along the way. Because I know that the things that come from a minister's mouth that are truth, and we believe in this day, if it's coming truth, then they are born again, brothers and sisters, or brothers of God. But everything that comes from them is going to help you. And I done told you one time, you know, the thing that I'm talking about tonight, about the birth that we have today. If people could see the birth they would have today, they wouldn't have a problem seeing that the rapture has come. They wouldn't have a problem seeing what the second coming is. They wouldn't have a problem seeing what the Godhead is. They wouldn't have a problem seeing all those things. But they're stuck back there. And I was stuck back there one time. I was stuck back there. And we were on a camping trip. See, I had just started looking at things. 33, 34. Been in the message all that time. Knew nothing. And I'd read the message a lot. Still knew nothing. And we had gone on this camping trip, and I had really been looking at things for a year or two now, and I thought I was really getting some things, you know. And I had no idea when I went on that trip that things was getting ready to change for me. Because I had this same idea, this same thought that the Paul's birth was the birth I had. That's what I thought. And I'd read the message and that's all I could see. I didn't see anything different yet. Brother Holmes preaching it, I still wasn't seeing it. I don't know why. And we were going along on that camping trip, and the first night, I mean, I'm telling you what, that camping trip, that was, I told Brother Don, I said, I'd just soon not bring a horse with me. I'd just soon carry my own pack from now on. This horse is just too much trouble. He got loose, the bee stung it, and he run off down, throwed me off, and I run off down through there, and he's the one stirred the bees up. If it'd been me walking, I wouldn't have stirred the bees up. All them horses going through there, and they're the ones stirred the bees up. And so it was just one thing after another. Then his saddle rubbed the back of his neck there, and a big bloody spot on his back. And, you know, I could keep riding him, and it would keep making a place even bigger. His sister, it wasn't your horse. It was sister, your sister's horse. I can't even remember his name. Rocky. It was his name. And so poor old Rocky and me, we ended up walking half the time anyways. But I was so tired that night. But we got to talking about the message. And I couldn't get tired of talking about the message. And so we got to talking. Brother Don was in his tent. And I was over in my, I was in the tent and Brother Don was out. I can't remember how it was. But we were talking about the message. I think Brother Josh was there. Brother Josh Williams. And your brother Andrew was with us. And we, and Brother Don's brother was with us. And so we were all talking about the message. And we got to talking about that very thing, about the birth. And so Brother Don said a few things, and I said, wait a minute. I said, such and such and such and such. And Brother Don said, what about this? And I said, well, he said this, this, and this. And so we went back and forth there a couple minutes, and then he said something that stopped me dead in my tracks. He said, the prophet said that those weren't born, they were begotten. Mm-hmm. And my mind went back to when Brother Holmes had told me that. And it had went down. It just wasn't time for it. It wasn't. Brother Holmes' voice was anointed, just like Brother Don's was anointed. I don't know why it happened like that, but it did. And it stopped me. Because the word means everything to me, brother and sister. And when Brother Branham says something like that, it has all importance to us. It means everything to us. We might not know exactly what it means, but God's going to show you. And when he said that, I stopped. And I thought, why would he say that? He had to have a reason for saying that. And so Brother Don said a couple more things, and I just said, well, brother, I'll go look at it. And so you better believe when I got back, I was in the study, and it started to hit. I wrote Brother Holmes a few questions and stuff, and he gave me some more quotes, and I thought, how did I miss that? Something that big, how did I miss it all that time? But, brother, when you realize that all through the church ages they were begotten, not born, then today's message means something else. It means something so much greater. And that's why I've been laboring on this all this time. It's not, for me, it's not some fleshly argument. You know, I'd rather somebody else preaches. But I want people to see the birth that we have nowadays and how it come. God has put me through it that my life might open up a way. Talk about God writing the Bible. Do you hear what he's telling us? He's telling us that God put him through it so that his life might open up a way. And how people want to just have all these nonsense comments about him. open up a way to say, this is it. See? His life said, this is it. See? Then you all run over that road. He's a road that God wrote, that God made. And we run over that road. And if we want to get off the road on someone, you're going to make a mess. Stay on the road. Stay on the road that God wrote. But before me, there was someone opened up the way for me to go. See? And we open up the road one for the other. And as you see, sometime an old veteran getting old and his marks all over him. What kind of marks? Now, we don't show the physical marks today. But I guarantee if you could look down at your heart, you could see some scars. I know mine has lots of scars in there. But God brought us through those things. They were, he was making a road. Brother Rat and Brother Holmes always used to say, somebody's watching you. Somebody is watching your life. Let them be watching God make your road, make your life for you. And as Paul said one time, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. You see how Timothy looked upon those marks, I guess with reverence, as he committed to young Timothy. This is the seventh seal. I think this is my last one. And then we're going to pick up there Sunday. Now, we'll turn now to the eighth verse. The first verse, of the eighth chapter, Revelation 8:1. I know you're tired. Now, just try to listen just a few minutes now. And God of heaven, help us, is my prayer. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. And remember, now we just went over this. The seals are on Christ. They're on you because you're part of Christ. Remember, the God is revealing to us as he interprets this word, as he brings it to pass, he's revealing to us these things. And when he takes these seals off, then the mystery of God is finished. It's not a mystery anymore. We must remember that the seventh seal is the end of time of all things. And so we just talked about it being the end of the law back there. And in this day, what is it? The end of the church ages. It's the end of that begotten. And it's now the birth. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. When was it sealed up? Before the world was ever created, it was sealed. What was going to take it off? The only thing going to take it off is the Word. Christ was the only one could take it off. Sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit ends. It's the end. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world. It's the end of struggling nature. What was our nature died. It was the end of that one. I don't think that's the one he's talking about, but it's the end of everything. It's in there is the end of the trumpets. In that seventh seal is the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials in that seventh seal. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Now, don't you think that's interesting that the seventh seal is the end of all times? And Brother Branham says that when the Son of Man comes back to earth, that's when they've put Christ out. And he says he can't reveal to them in the denomination. He has to go out of the denomination. And they put him out. It's the end of denomination. It's the end of part word. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Matthew, the seventh chapter, the Revelations, the seventh chapter, 10th chapter, and 1 to 7th verse, time runs out. The angel said, time shall be no more when in the days of the great thing to happen. Everything runs out in this time. The end, at the end of the seventh seal. Notice, it's the end of the church age. Everybody thinks the church age is not over because it's still going on, but it's in chaos. Christ was put out of the church. He's put out of the church. He's put out of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It even ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. It's just like firing a rocket into the air. And the rocket explodes here and it goes up. And then explodes again. And it puts out five stars. See, that's how the seventh seal ends. It goes up and then it goes up and it goes up. Things keep ending as things go forth. It puts out five stars. One of them stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. It fades on out. That's what the seventh seal, it just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It means the time, what happened? The Gentiles' time ended, right? It ended. It means the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do that? Now, how is he going? That's an odd question to answer. Ask right after that, isn't it? How's he going to do that? That's what we don't know, isn't it? How he's going to do all this ending up. We don't know. It's even the time for all these things and ushering in of the millennium. Notice the breaking of this seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of a half hour. When this seventh seal was broke, when we knew who we were, when heaven knew the mystery that had been hid all this time, everything hushed up. It was so great. The heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of a half hour. Now, is it great? What is it? It was hushed heaven. There wasn't a thing moved for a half hour. Amen. So we'll start right there next time on Sunday. We'll start from there. But I wanted to get that background on the book because it means a lot when you start talking about the rapture and the seal and stuff. So I hope I didn't throw a bunch at you and lose you. I'm sorry. If you got questions, then please ask me. I'll do my best to try to answer. But let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so glad that you let us be a part of this hour, Lord. That when that seal was opened and heaven hushed, Lord, and your bride began to know who she was, the church ages began to end, Lord. The message began to roll out of the revelation of the rapture. Lord, all these things that had been hid all this time, the Bible becoming a new book to the prophet, and by it becoming a new book to the prophet, became a message to us, Lord. We're so thankful for it. We're so thankful and pray that you'll break it down for us, Lord. Let us be diligent in our studying and our prayer, Lord, looking, because it says that those that are looking and waiting, Lord, that those are the ones you reveal it to. And Lord, as much as people want to think they know everything about this message, they do not. And sometimes I wonder just how little we do know about this message, Lord. But I pray, Father, that you open it to us more. Lord, we know we're not going to work it out in our minds or some other way, but it will be by revelation, you showing us what you've done, Lord. May you do that. Keep us the weak, Lord. Continue to unfold yourself in us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless y'all. And